All right, Javosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, welcome to all the new faces from Masechta Sanhedrin. Welcome to Baruch Hashem, those who started Baba Basra with us, took a shtickle sabbatical, and are now back again. Baruch Hashem for Sanhedrin. And of course, a welcome to all of the, just everyone who was here yesterday morning as well. It's so beautiful to begin Sanhedrin with such a robust Olam Halavai. We should be Zoche and Mirtz Hashem to outgrow this. I don't know where we're going, but you know, at least for now, that we should be Zoche and Mirtz Hashem to outgrow this space. And I will say, I just want to, just one word of Hakdama. You know, new things are always exciting. You know, that new mesech, the smell, you know, daf beis of anything is always exciting. And I will say the goal is the same excitement and the same energy you feel right now, just make sure to bottle it and keep it with you every single day, because every daf, every morning, is a brand new haskalah. Every morning is a brand new beginning. Every morning is mamish, not just a new chapter, but a new book. So Mirat Hashem, we should be zocha. The same energy we feel today, you know, when you begin a new mesechta, you feel like you have a new lease on life. So that same energy and that same excitement that we feel now, in Mirat Hashem, we should be zocha to take with us each and every day throughout Mesecha Sanhedrin and all of our following mesechtos as well. Yeshu koach to all of you who are mosa nefesh to be here this morning. And halavai, it's a great zuchus to be able to learn together. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Shmuel and Devorah Miller, who are on their way, moving to Los Angeles now, with deep appreciation to the Chevrei Adaf, whom I merited to begin with and be immersed in, and complete Mesechtos, Berov HaKaras HaTov Shmuel Miller, and of course again, the Mesechta is also dedicated to the Eloi Nishmas Eliezer Ben Kolonimus, and with that, we'll say we begin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So, the Mesechta Sanhedrin begins with a massive Mishnah, which spans the entirety of Beis Amud Aleph and goes on to Gimel as well. So we're going to go through it now. Dinei Mamonos. We'll say, so the Mesechta begins... The Masechta begins with an in-depth discussion about what type of judicial bodies are able to adjudicate which type of law. So we will discuss that there are different types of batei din. There's a three-person beis din under certain circumstances. There's a five-person beis din. There's a 23-member beis din that we call the Sanhedrin HaKatan. And there is a 71-member beis din. 70 or 71, we'll discuss, that's called the beis din HaGadol. There is only one 71 body of Sanhedrin HaGadol. Every city will see, or the major cities had smaller, what we call Sanhedrin HaKatans, 23-member batei din, and of course, three-member but they didn't were often found in multiple locations. So in any event, with that we begin the Mishnah. Dinei Mamonos b'shlosha. So again, monetary law is judged with three judges. Gzelos v'chavalos b'shlosha. So we'll say similarly again, gzelos v'chavalos means cases of theft. Chavalos, we'll say personal injury. So we'll discuss why the Mishnah separates out these two, meaning dinei mamonos and then gzelos and chavalos b'shlosha. Nezek v'chatzi nezek. So we'll say nezek. Remember again, nezek shalom, full damages. Chatzi nezek, half damage. Remember from Baba Kama days, which I will say, Chatzi Nezek is paid by a short time, by a first time offending shor. So in these cases, Tashlumi Kefel, we'll say Kefel is a situation ultimately again where double payment, Tashlumi Arba Vechamisha, four and five times penalty payments, which I will say is a situation if a person goes ahead and steals and slaughters a cow or a sheep. So the Gemara says, Bishlosha. All of these cases are adjudicated by a beis din of three people. Ha'onis v'ha'mefata. So we'll say onis is a man who violates a woman. Mefata is a man who seduces a woman. V'ha'motzi shemra, or one who goes ahead and is motzi shemra. So we'll say the case of motzi shemra, and again, as in every Mishnah, we're only going through the superficial view of these statements. The Gemara is obviously going to go in depth in each of these cases. Motzi shemra, we'll say, is the man who gets married and makes an accusation that his wife was not a besula at the time of their marriage. So Bishlosha de Rabbi Meir says these cases are adjudicated with a beis din of three people. The Chachamim say Motzi Shemra be'esrim u'shlosha. Chacham say no, Motzi Shemra is actually adjudicated. I will say what we call the Sanhedrin HaKatan. By the way, just Sanhedrin HaKatan, you know, if you ever go to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik in East Yerushalayim, right by Shimon HaTzadik's kever, they have this kever called the kever of the Sanhedrin HaKatan. Why do they call it the kever of the Sanhedrin HaKatan? Because they found 23 burial spots in this particular cave, like the minyan. I don't know if it was actually a Sanhedrin HaKatan, but they called it any of them. So the Chacham say, Moti Shemra Ba'esu Mishlosham. Chacham say, no, that Moti Shemra has to be adjudicated with a basin of 23 people. Why? Mipnei sheyesh bo dinei nefashos. Because they both say, there's a possible din of dinei nefashos. Now, how is that? If you look at Rashi, and by the way, we have to give a big shalom aleichem to Rashi, right? We haven't had Rashi in a long time. Now, again, the Rashbam, who was Rashi's enekel, who was Rashi's grandson, was a wonderful, wonderful companion to Asur Baal Basra. But it's nothing like having the Zayda back. So Rashi is back. So both say it's the short lines, about six lines in Dinei Nefashos. So Rabbi Meir says, so the Chachamim say that Moti Shemra has to be adjudicated with 23 Dayanim. Why? Dinei Nefashos. Dim Emes Hayashazin Satachtov Hi Beskila. Because I will say, remember again, Moti Shemra is a man claiming that his wife wasn't a Basula. Now, we have to go ahead and vet that claim. One of the possibilities is that he was right, she wasn't a Basula, and in fact she had relations with a man after Kiddushin. So before Nitzun, but after Kiddushin, but if a woman has relations with someone other than her husband after Kiddushin, that's Znus, right? That's Znus, that's adultery, and that's punishable by Skila. So the Chachamim say that since Motzi Shemra has a potential Misa ramification, there's a potential death penalty there, therefore Allah HaMaisa has to be adjudicated by a basin of 23, which are both like, you already begin to see the principles evolving. You begin to see over here this yesod that a basin of 3 could adjudicate monetary matters. Basin of 23 apparently could adjudicate dinei nefashos. He goes on. The Gemara goes weiter. Makos b'shlosha. So we'll say makos, right? Malkus. So lashes. And lashes we'll discuss again under what circumstances can be levied by a basin of 3. Mishra b'shmol or b'esr b'shlosha. And Rabbi Shmuel says, no, you need a basin of 23 to be able to give malkus. Ibarach Hodesh. So we'll say Ibarach Hodesh means every month could either have 29 or 30 days. So the Maisa, again, in terms of determining that, so that could be done by a Beis Din of 3. Ibarach Shana. So we'll say Ibarach Shana, you know, one of the interesting parts that we have in the Jewish calendar is the following. We have a solar calendar, excuse me, we have a lunar calendar. The problem, not the problem, but the issue that sometimes comes up is the Yamim Tovim are linked to the seasons, which are solar-based. So, for example, the Torah calls Pesach the Chag Ha'aviv, the spring festival, the spring Yom Tov. So here's the problem, is that what happens when sometimes Pesach is going to come out in the middle of winter? I will say, this, you know, understand, these seasons don't go by Chutz La'aretz. These seasons go by Eretz Yisrael. So when Chazal saw that Pesach was going to fall out in the winter, they'd make an Iber Yard. They would go ahead and they would add an additional month. So who decides that? So the Gemara says, Iber Hashanah B'Shlosha, the Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Shemen Gamliel Omer, B'Shlosha Maschilin, U'Bechamisha Nosin V'Nosnin, the Gomrim B'Shiva. So we'll say, amazingly enough, Rabbi Meir says that an Iber Shana could go ahead and could be established by 3. Rebbe Shemen Gamliel says, we begin the discussion with 3, we then continue the discussion with 5, and we decide it with 7. But if you went ahead and they decided that the year is a leap year, even with 3 dayanim, ultimately again the leap year is established. I will say first wide line in the Mishnah on Beis Min Aleph. Smichas zekenim va'arifas egla b'shlosha. So we'll say smichas zekenim. Now here, if you look at Rashi again, so Rashi is about probably about 10-12 lines down in the short line. Smichas zekenim. Arosh par he'elam davar shal tzibar. So we'll say, we'll discuss this halacha, which is a fascinating case. Par he'elam davar min ha-tzibar means situations where Beis Din makes an erroneous ruling, and as a result, Klal Yisrael commits some type of significant aveira. So there's a special karbon that's brought as a result of that. The zekanim, the elders, the Sanhedrin, have to do smicha, have to do the leaning on that animal. Va'arifas egla, or abos arifas egla means the paraduma. The paraduma. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The egla arufa. So egla arufa, so remember again, you find the corpse. This is also amazing because you see, by the way, if this doesn't get you excited for Sanhedrin, you see all of these different concepts. Every single one of these things is going to be something we're going to explore in the Masech. That's incredible. Arifa, Segebosai, Egla Arufa, you find a person who has been murdered in between two cities. We measure the closest city. The elders of that city come out, decapitate a calf, wash their hands over it. We'll discuss that process. B'shlosha, Tiv Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, these processes could be taken care of with a basin of 3. Rabbi Huda Omer, Bechamisha. Rabbi Huda says, no, for these things you require a basin of 5. Hachalitza, Vahamiyun, Bishlosha. So we'll say Chalitza, which again, in a situation where a man dies without children, leaves behind a widow. Mitzvah for the surviving brother to marry the widow. In the event that the brother doesn't want to marry, the wife doesn't want to marry, they do the process of chalitza. Miyun. I will say, so what's miyun? Midoraisa, father has the right to marry off his minor daughter. His minor daughter, that affects biblical kiddushin. What happens if there's no father? Chazal gave the mother or the brother the right to marry off the girl for her, to protect her own interests. But it is only a rabbinic marriage. Because it is only a rabbinic marriage, it could be dissolved with her simple refusal. Miyun means her refusal. So, but this is done in front of a beis din. So it requires a beis din, both chalitza and miyun require a beis din of three. Nata revai, umaiser sheni. So also listen to this. So nata revai ultimately again refers to the fourth year produce. Now, we will discuss this in depth. For the first 3 years, produce is considered to be arla. Fourth year, it's yours, you could eat it, but effectively it becomes like maaser sheni. What does that mean? The same way that if I have maaser sheni, I have an obligation to bring that up to Yerushalayim and to eat it. So too, again, nata revai, it's yours, but you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Or, so nata revai, or maaser sheni. Maaser sheni means it's a tithe. I, the owner, get to keep it and eat it, but I have to bring it to Yerushalayim. She'im damav yiduin. Now, both say, these are cases where lemaisa, again, where lemaisa, I don't know the value of these items, and I want to go ahead and redeem them. Bishlosha. So both say, this type of redemption is done in front of a beis din of three. So we'll discuss why you need a beis din for things like this. We'll get to that in the Gemara. Hakdeshos, bishlosha. The Bible says similarly again. If you look at Rashi, Hakdeshos, Habalif Dosan, Sarach Shlosha Lishuman. The Bible says if you go ahead and you have something that is consecrated and you want to redeem it, you have to redeem it in front of a beis din of three. In other words, you need a beis din of three to evaluate the hekdesh. Ha'erchin Hamitalpulim Bishlosha. The Bible says similarly again. If you have Erchin Hamitalpulim, so we'll discuss what this means. Erchin usually means something that has become kadosh as a result of an erech vow. Erech vow usually is where you pledge the value of something, whether it's yourself, whether it's of an object. So we'll discuss what this phrase erchin metaltlin means, but it requires a basin of three. Rabbi Huda Omer, echad mehen kohen. Rabbi Huda says it requires a basin of three, and one of the three must be a kohen. Vakakos, tisha v'kohen. We'll say similarly karka. So if you have karka that belongs to Hekdish, if you have karka that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, and you want to redeem it, you require a Beis Din of ten altogether, one of whom must be a Kohen. V'adam ki yotzei bahem. And again, Rashi points out, V'adam, he says over here, Haba liftos atzmo miad hegdish tzarech asar l'shuma. So we'll say, now again, this sounds like a strange case. The Gemara is going to explain it. But if a person is kadosh and he wants to redeem himself, he also requires this same group of 10, one of whom is a kohen, to go ahead and redeem himself. We'll discuss what exactly is the case of a case of a person who is kadosh. So the Gemara goes weiter. So dinei nefashos be'asher mishlosha. We'll say dinei nefashos means any case, ultimately, again, where there's a capital crime. So any case where, again, somebody's being sentenced to death, ultimately, again, the death sentence could only be leveled upon someone with 23 dayanim. Harova v'hanirva. So we'll say rova and nirva are cases of bestiality. Either where the animal violates a woman or the animal is violated by a man. In these cases, Rabosai Esr Mishlosha. These cases, so the person who engages in the act of bestiality is put to death. The animal is also killed. So these, any case where there's a capital offense requires a basin of 23. Shnei Amar, v'harakto asa isha v'esa behema, v'omer v'esa behema tarogu. So we'll say any case where there is a death sentence requires a basin of at least 23 people. Shahaniskal be'esrim ushlosha. So we'll say a case of a shahaniskal. Shahaniskal, Rashi says over here, shenagach adam umes. This is a case of where an ox gored a person and the person died. So the halacha is, this also requires a beis din of 23 people. Shnei Amar, Hashar Yisakel, Vigam Ba'alav Yumas. The shore shall be stoned, and also its owner shall be put to death. Kmisas Bailin, kach misas Ashar. In the same way that the owner could only be put to death with a basin of 23, so too the shor could only be put to death with a basin of 23. Now, Bosa, I want to point out, we know this halacha because we learned this in Baba Kama. We don't actually execute the owner of the ox for this particular offense, meaning if my ox, chas v'shalom, kills someone, I am not chayev misa for that, I'm chayev mamon for that. So we'll discuss that verbiage of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Next, Hazeev va'ari va'dov va'namar va'bardulus va'hanachosh. So we'll say again, another somewhat strange case, which we're not exactly sure, but a Zeev is a wolf, Ari is a lion, Dov is a bear, Namar is a leopard, Bardulus, we'll discuss it's a machlokas, exactly how to define it, Nachash is a snake. All of these cases are Bosai, where if you look at Rashi, it's the second wide line in Rashi. Hazeivari, Shemisu Adam Binidonin Biskila Kishar. So we'll say all of these cases is where one of these animals went ahead and killed a person. So the halacha is Misasan Be'esrim Mushlosha. They're put to death with a basin of 23. Again, we'll discuss the specifics of this case in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kala Koldem Lahargan Zacha. Rabbi Eliezer says, if you see one of these animals that kills people, you do not have to wait for a basin of 23, but rather Kala Koldem Zacha Ba, if you see it, kill it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Misasan Be'esrin Ushlosh. Rabbi Akiva says, no, their death penalty is carried out with a basin of 23. So we'll say, what exactly Rabbi Akiva is being mosif on in the first opinion, we'll see in the Gemara. Ain done in loas ha-shevet, veloas ha-navish, veloas navi-sheker, velo kohen gadol, ela al-pi beizdin shel shim vecha. So we'll say, now what you've seen over here, we started with batei din of 3, we went to batei din of 5, under certain circumstances 7, and then we went to batei din of 23. Now going up the level, the Gemara says, we do not go ahead and judge a shevet. Now, when would you be judging a shevet? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the third wide line in Rashi. Ve'in donen lo'as ha-shevet, rubo shel shevet sh'avdu avodah zarah b'mezid. So we'll say this is a case where the majority of one particular tribe, one particular shevet, intentionally worshipped avodah zarah. V'lo'as navi sheker, so we'll say navi sheker is someone who tries to go ahead and convince Klal Yisrael to worship Avodah Zarah. V'lo esa Kohen Gadol, we'll discuss exactly what the case of Kohen Gadol is over here. Ela api bezin shel shivim ve'echad. But say all of these individuals, all of these cases could only be tried by a bezin of 71. Ve'im motzil l'mechemes harashos, ela api bezin shel shivim ve'echad. Similarly, we cannot go out for a mechemes harashos. Right, to both say, now we're going to get into this fascinating discussion about what's called a Milchames Mitzvah and a Milchames Rishos, an obligatory war versus an optional war. So Rashi actually already comments over here. Rashi says, "B'Milchames Rishos," he says, "Kol Milchama Kari Rishos Levad Milchames Yoshua Sheis Alichbosh Es Eretz Yisrael." So Rashi says, every war, pretty much from this point forward, is always considered to be an optional war, because the only Milchames Mitzvah Rashi posits was when Yoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael. That was a Milchames Mitzvah. Anything else is a Milchames Rishos. But again, we're gonna define that a little bit differently as we go on. Ve'ein Mosifin. Ein Mosifin ala ir va'ala azaros, ela api bezin shal shim ve'achar. This is another interesting case. Let's say you want to expand the area of Yerushalayim, or you want to expand the area of Harabayis, you could only do so with a Beis Din of 71. They both say, you should understand this statement. We spoke about this a little bit on Shavuos. You know, there's a whole discussion about whether or not one is permitted to go up to Har HaBayis today. So one of the compelling reasons why it is permitted to go, at least on the outskirts of Har HaBayis, is because, again, that platform was that extended area was created by Herod. It was never vested with Kiddushas Har HaBayis. Why? Because of this Mishnah. Because in order for an area to have Kiddushas Har HaBayis, in order for that extension, it has to be done by the Sanhedrin of 71. It wasn't done by the Sanhedrin of 71. How do we know that? We learned this. How do we know it? Because Herod Herodus killed the Sanhedrin of 71. In fact, one of his first orders of business was a shtickle paranoid, putting it mildly, but he was a little bit paranoid. He killed out virtually the entire Sanhedrin. So there was no Sanhedrin. Again, we'll go into each of these ideas. The Gemara goes weiter. So we'll say we will discuss that they used to make Sanhedrios. Sanhedrios, so we'll say, if you look at Rashi, it's in the fourth wide line towards the bottom. Sanhedrios, Shaymoshiv and Sanhedri Kitana shall kaf kimo bechol ir vi ir. Kedechsev tite in lecha bechol sharecha. Utsvichin bezin agadosh shabalishkash agazis latseis ulo shiva. So listen to this, we'll say. They used to go ahead and establish smaller bate din with. We call the Sanhedrin Akatan. 23 judge courts in different large cities. Those smaller 23 judge courts could only be established by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the high court would have to leave Lishkas HaGazis, that we'll discuss as Chamber of Hewn Stone in the Beis HaMikdosh. They would go out like a site visit. They'd go out to go ahead and see this community and decide whether or not it was appropriate to establish a Sanhedrin HaKatan in this particular city. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ein osin ir anidachas. Similarly, you can't condemn a city as an Irenidachas without the ruling of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, 71 person Sanhedrin. We'll say Irenidachas is a city whom the majority of the members of the city have gone ahead and worshipped Avodah Zarah. That city is condemned to be wiped out. That type of ruling of designation can only be made by the Sanhedrin HaGadol. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ein osin ir nidachas v'safar. Furthermore, again, you can't make a border city into an ir nidachas. Again, we'll discuss why that is in the Gemara. So the Mishnah goes on. Velo shalosh aval osin achos v'shtayim. Plus another interesting statement. Furthermore, you can't make three cities into an ir nidachas, but rather at most one and maybe two. We'll discuss what that means. Sanhedrin gendola haisa shal shim ve'echad. So we'll say now it's interesting. After we give all of the different cases adjudicated by the different types of batei din, now the Mishnah actually gives the definitions. So Sanhedrin gadol, the large Sanhedrin of Osai, was made up of 71 judges. Ukitano shal esim shlosha. Sanhedrin HaKata was made up of 23 judges. How do you know that a large Sanhedrin was made up of 71 judges? Listen to this. Shneimar asfali shivim ish mizikne Yisrael umosha al gabein. Because the Muslim member in Moshe Rabbeinu reaches out to Kadosh Baruch Hu for help. So what does Kadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Isfali, right? Gather for me 70 elders. So there are 70 people plus Moshe Rabbeinu, that gives us the number 71 for the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Rabbi Huda Omer Shivim. Rabbi Huda, we'll discuss this machlokes. So the first opinion, the Gemara says that the Sanhedrin HaGadol is 71. Rabbi Huda, we will say, says no, the Sanhedrin HaGadol is 70. Rabbi Huda, this poses an obvious problem. Why would anyone ultimately say that the Sanhedrin is an even number judicial body? But we'll see that in the Gemara. This is riveting. How do you know that a small Sanhedrin was made up of 23 judges? Watch this. Shneimar v'shaftu ha'eda v'itzilu ha'eda. So we'll say because the pasuk says literally the eda, which means the congregation or the body will judge, and the congregation, the body will save. So we'll say this is a reference ultimately again to the Sanhedrin HaKatan. So watch this. Eda shofetas v'eda matzelas. So we'll say that teaches you that a Sanhedrin HaKatan has to be comprised of two bodies. One body that is capable ultimately again of judging, which usually the Mishnah's understanding over here in a guilty sense, and one that is capable of saving, meaning in an exonerating sense. Eida shofetes ve'eida matzila, hare kan esrim, that gives you 20. Now we'll say, the Mishnah is saying, the word Eida, by definition, always represents a group of 10. So asks the Gemara. So therefore, if you have an v'shaftua eida v'tziloa eida, two different eidas, 10 plus 10 is 20. Uminayin le'eida shi'asara. So how do you know ultimately again that an eida is a group of 10 people? Shneimar admasai le'eida hara hazos. Because the Mosai, the pasuk by the Meraglim says, the Shbaruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, how long should I put up with this evil Eidah? That's reference to the Meraglim. Now, Yatsu Yoshua v'Kalev. We're both saying there are 12 Meraglim, minus Yoshua and Kalev. Who does the Eidah? So the Eidah you see from here refers to what? Refers ultimately again to 10. So therefore again, if in a Sanhedrin HaKatan you have a Shaftua Eidah, a Tzilua Eidah, that's 20. That's 20. Shomea Ani... Uminayin lohavi ot shlosha, so that only gives me 20. How do I know that it's 23? Because again, mimashna shene emar, lo si achri rabim l'ra'os. So we'll say, listen to this. The pasuk says, You shall not follow the majority for negative things. Now we're going to discuss what this means in a judicial sense. Shomea ani she'eya imam matova. But it tells you that I should be with the majority for positive things. So we'll say, the way the Mishnah's understand this is the following. That when it comes to a Beis Din, finding someone guilty, we will never follow a simple majority. Simple majority means one more. But however, again, when it comes to finding someone innocent, we will follow a simple majority. So Gemara says, Imkei lamanem achei rabim lahatos. If that's the case again, then why does the Pasuk also say that you should tilt yourself towards the rabbim? Lo kat yascha letova, hat yascha lera'a. The tilting towards exoneration should not be the same as tilting towards finding the individual guilty. How so? Both say, watch this. Because ultimately, again, when you go ahead and you lean towards the majority for something good, all you need is a simple majority of one. But I both say, again, when you when a Beis Din finds someone guilty, there must be a majority of at least two. The ain Beis Din shakol. So we'll say, if now I know, so now I know Ada teaches me I have at least 20. I also know that that in order to find someone guilty, I need at least, what Rabbos say, a majority of two. That gives me at least a Beis Din of 22. The ain Beis Din shakol. You can't have an even numbered Beis Din. Mosifin alein od echad. Therefore we add one more judge. Harekan esim ushlosha. That gives us, Rabbos say, the complete number of 23 for the Sanhedrin HaKatan. Again, we'll get into this more in the Gemara. The Kamiye Ba'ir, the Tehirui Los Angeles, this is an interesting question. This is like city planning questions. How big does a city have to be in order to get its own Sanhedrin HaKatan? I guess like, this is like, you know, now you've made it, I guess if you have like a pizza store. So, you know, this is like, you know, if you have a Sanhedrin HaKatan, so how large does a city have to be in order to have a Sanhedrin HaKatan? So the Gemara says, Mea ve'esrim, 120 people. Which we'll say, so we'll discuss now that doesn't seem like a very large number of people. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Masayim Ushloshim. Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, it's 230 people, excuse me. Can I get Sare Asaros? Because we'll say, ultimately, again, if you're going to bring in a Sanhedrin HaKatan of 23 judges, each of those judges at least has to be, quote, over 10 people. So if the city population is less than 230, we're not bringing in a Sanhedrin HaKatan. Fine. So let's go like that. I'm going to share with you a beautiful idea, but first we'll get to the end of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Atuk Zelos V'Chavalos, Lav Dinei Mamanes Ninu. So we'll say, the Gemara asks an interesting question. If you remember, again, the way that the Mishnah broke up the cases was the following. The Mishnah began by telling me, Dinei Mamanes, monetary law, Bishlosha, is adjudicated with a Beis Din of three people, Gzelos V'Chavalos Bishlosha. And similarly, again, cases of theft and injury. Chavalos means like to injure someone. Personal injury are dealt with in also, but Beis Din of three people. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Why do you break off Gzelos V'Chavalos from Dinei Mamnes? Right? They both say, again, the rulings regarding theft and injuries are part of Dinei Mamnes. It's part of monetary law. So why do you say Dinei Mamnes and then Gzelos V'Chavalos? Why not put everything together? To which the Gemara says, Adu Gzelos V'Chavalos of Dinei Mamnes, Linu, Om Rabbi Avohu, Mahin Katoni. So Rabbi Avohu says, you're right. We'll say this is a stylistic approach called Mahin. That sometimes the Mishnah will say something, and then the next line will define that more general phrase. So what does the Mishnah mean to say? Mahin Dinei Mamanis. Say Nachnami, the Mishnah begins by saying, so right, Dinei Mamanis are adjudicated with a Beis Din of three. And what constitutes Dinei Mamanis? Gzelos V'Chavalos. Gzelos V'Chavalos. So theft and bodily injury are cases of Dinei Mamanis. Aval hodos vehalvos lo. Rabbi say, what's now? This is where it gets intriguing. What is not included? What is not included in Dinei Mamanis? Rabbi say, the laws of hodos and halvos. So what's this case? If you take a look at Rashi, it's pretty much like right across in Rashi. Hodos valvos, shnein al iske malbehin. Rabbi say, both of these have to do with loans. So we'll say, listen to this. The case of Hodah is, witnesses come to Beis Din and they say, Silber admitted in our presence that he owes Reuven $1,000.
So they're coming to Beis Din. Now, I'm denying it, but they're coming to Beis Din and testifying about this fact. Halvos sheba lodun be'ede halvah, shemeidin befaneinu hilvo, v'halah kofar b'shtein. Vos, a second case is where witnesses show up and they say, we saw Silber go out and borrow $1,000 from Ruvain. So Vos, so the Gemara is suggesting over here that the Mishnah breaks up, the Mishnah says that Dine Mamanis and Gzelos and Chavalos are part of Dine Mamanis. But what's not included in this mission, what's not included in Dine Mamanis is what? Hodaos and Halvaos. Cases, Rabbi say, ultimately, again, where witnesses testify that I admitted that I owe money, or cases where witnesses testify that they saw me borrow money. So Rabbi say, so why isn't this included? Tzricha, di tana Dine Mamanis. Because if the Mishnah would have just said Dine Mamanis, hava amina, da'afilu Hodaos v'Halvaos, that I would have thought Dine Mamanus, Mosei, by definition, also includes what? And we'll discuss why Hodas and Halvaos are going to be reckoned separately. But had the Mishnah just said Dine Mamanus, and not given any examples of Dine Mamanus, I would have thought Dine Mamanus includes everything, even the cases of Hodaos and Halvaos. Therefore, Tana Gzelos v'Chavalos. Therefore, I will say the Mishnah comes along and explicitly says Gzelos v'Chavalos to tell you that what? To show you, when we say Dine Mamanis, we mean things like theft and bodily injury, but not things dealing with loans. Not things dealing with loans. We'll discuss what to do with loans. V'itana Gzelos v'Chavalos v'lokatana Dine Mamanis. And had the Mishnah just said that Gzelos and Chavalos, cases of theft and bodily injury, are dealt with a basin by three, of three. But the Mishnah did not mention Dine Mamanis, Hava Amino, Hu Adin Da'afilu Hoda'os V'Halvos. I would have assumed that Hoda'os V'Halvos are included in Gzelos V'Chavalos, V'Hai Diktani Gzelos V'Chavalos. And why is it that ultimately, again, the Mishnah specifies Gzelos and Chavalos? Mishum de Iker Gimel Dixivi Bigzelos Vechavalos Ksivi, because the Rebbe says we're going to see in just a moment. So the concepts of a Beis Din being comprised of three judges, that concept is at first initially shared with us in the context of Gzelos and Chavalos, meaning where we learn out that a basic Beis Din is comprised of three, that concept is learned out by Gzelos Vechavalos. Where do we see that? Gzelos Dixiv V'nikra balabayis ela elokim. And I will say, ultimately, again, by Gzelos, it says, in the case of theft, the pasuk says, and the balabayis will come close to Elohim. Now, I will say Elohim. In this case, Elohim is not a reference to Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather a reference to the judge. So the Gemara says, Chavalos, mali chaval begufo, mali chaval b'mamon. And I will say, when it comes to the cases of injury, what does it make a difference at the end of the day if somebody injures you in your body or somebody injures you in your money? Either way, again, I will say, those two concepts are linked together. So the idea that the Gemara says over here is that the Iker concept, ultimately, again, of a Beis Din of three, is learned out by Gzelos v'Chavalos. Therefore, Tana, ma hein dine mamanis, Gzelos v'Chavalos, aval hodo'os v'Halvo'os lo. So we'll say, ultimately, again, says the Gemara, therefore, and again, here's our bottom line with this for now. Therefore, the way the Mishnah reads Rabbi Ossai is the following. The Mishnah opens up with a statement. Dine Mamanis B'Shlosha. Monetary law is adjudicated by a Beis Din of three. And what is an example of monetary law, or what type of monetary law are we referring to? Gzelos V'Chavalos. Theft and bodily injury. Rabbi Ossai, what does it not refer to? It doesn't refer to Hodaos and Halvaos. Nothing, so meaning our Mishnah is not referring to loans, either in cases where witnesses show up and say that I admitted I owed money, or witnesses show up and they say that they saw me borrow money. That is not covered by this Mishnah. So that's the Gemara, okay, Ulamai. So what does that mean when you tell me that Hodaos and Halvaos are not included in this Mishnah? What's the ramification of that? If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Ossai, cases of Hoda'os and Halva'os are adjudicated by that don't require three, don't require a basin of three, that's not true. So Rabbi Avo said that if you have two people who adjudicated any monetary case, everyone will agree that what? That Rabbi Ossai, their psak din is not a binding psak din. Rather, Rabbi Ossai, what it means is that what? You don't require mumchin.
Now this is quite intriguing. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the wide line towards the bottom. Mumchin, smuchin. The notlu rishus minasi ladon kidamrina lakman pirkes. We'll say, as we're going to see the following, there are different types of bate din. Sometimes a basin was comprised of smuchin. Smuchin means that the dayanim had smicha. So let's remember again, the smicha that the Gemara refers to is different than the smicha that we have today. The smicha that we have today is much more of a zecher. It's much more of like a remembrance to what smicha once was. Smicha was an unbroken chain of mesorah from Moshe Rabbeinu directly to the person ultimately again who was given smicha. So we will. So one of the interesting discussions we're going to have is, do the members of a Beis Din have to have smicha or not? And of course, the answer to that question is going to be, it depends. Right, it's going to depend, right? It's always the safe answer, right? It depends. It's going to depend, really, on the nature of the case being adjudicated. So the Gemara says over here, you're telling me now the Mishnah comes to exclude cases of Hoda'as and Avos. Exclusive from what? Can't be exclusive from a Beis Din of three, because every monetary case requires a Beis Din of three. Rather, it must be that what? It requires that you don't require mumchin. That by Hodas and Avos are both saying, you don't need mumchin, you don't need experts. And Rashi defines experts over here as people having smicha. My kasavar. So I will say, so he says, I don't understand. So what do you hold? I kasavar, erev parshios kasav kan, liboy nami mumchin. I kasavar, in erev parshios kasav kan, shlosha lamali. So we'll say, listen to this. So halacha lamai, so what the Gemara says over here is the following idea. There's this yisod of Erev Parshios. If you remember again, we learned this for the first time in Baba Kama. I will say, many of the psukim that we learn out much of Dine Mamanis from have to do with the various shomim, the various different custodians we have, which we'll get into a little bit as well. But if you remember again for our Baba Kama days, the psukim are very much written in a, I'm not going to call it like, in a mixed up order. In other words, it doesn't flow from subject to subject to subject. It's what's called Erev Parshios. Erev Parshios means the Torah by design mixed a lot of halachos together in order to teach you what? That what applies in one scenario should apply in a different scenario as well. To which the Gemara says, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if you hold of Erev Parshios, if you hold of Bosei, then when it comes to monetary law, all the different concepts are mixed together and written together. That means that all of the halachos that apply to one should what? Should what? Should apply to the other scenarios as well. Therefore, if you hold Erev Parshios of Bosei, the same way that you need mumchin, let's say for Dine Mamanis, you should also require mumchin for what? For Hoda'os and Halva'os as well. To which the Gemara says, and if you don't, I'm sorry, if you hold this Erev Parshios, then the same way that you require a Beis Din of three Bahadals and Avos, you should also require Mumchin. And if you don't hold Erev Parshios, then the same way that you shouldn't require Mumchin, you also shouldn't require what? You shouldn't require a Beis Din of three. To which the Gemara says, you're right. The Olam Kasav Erev Parshios Kasav Kan. In reality, all the Parshios are written together. And therefore, we really should learn out. Ubedinu, diliboy nami munchin. And I both say, at the end of the day, you really should require munchin. In other words, I will say, what the Gemara is holding right now is the following. And these are very important yesodos. So what the Gemara is holding right now is that halacha lemaisa, again, we hold of Erev Parshios, which means pretty much the major sections of monetary law, like in Parshios Mishpatim, are all written a little bit mixed up together by design, in order to teach that you should extrapolate and learn from one to the other. If that's the case, that's why, again, even by Hodas and Avos, you're going to require, ultimately, again, three Dayanim. But if that's the case, that is Erev Parshios, so shouldn't you require Mumchin as well? So also, I'm going to leave you on that cliffhanger. We're going to stop with this today about Mumchin, because I just want to share with you. So again, just so you know, we're ending off. We have to answer the question now. Shouldn't you need Mumchin by Hodas Vahavos? So mostly we will answer that question in Meretz Hashem first thing tomorrow morning. But I just want to close out the shir. I apologize. I'm leaving. I see like you're wanting more. Okay, so we'll pick up with this tomorrow, Meretz Hashem. But I'll share with you just a beautiful insight into the Gemara. So we'll say, so actually, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, he asks on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, so again, so just so you know, we're picking up in Meretz Hashem tomorrow morning. V'hai delo be'inan mumchin. Three lines up from the bottom. So the Rebbe asked an interesting question. The Mishnah learned out the concept of Eda. Learned out the concept that a basin of 23 is made up of 23 because it says Eda twice. Eda Matzalas, Eda Mechayavas. So the Rebbe asks, listen to this question. He says, "V'chilo matzu chazal din zeh limud noe yoser elam miraglim." So Chazal couldn't find a nicer source for this halacha than the miraglim. In other words, really, like we learn out that a basin is made up of 20, because we learn out that Eidah is 10 basin. I mean, there's no other place in the Torah that we can learn out that Eidah means 10. We have to learn from the miraglim. Listen to how beautiful this is. B'yishlomar, Chazal amru miraglim ein lam chelik li'olam haba. So Chazal say that the miraglim don't have a portion in the world to come. V'akosav omer, chashav machshavos levilti yidach mimenu nidach. Nishmos yisrali ef shalem sheyovdu li'ol me'ad, ki heima chelik elokam mimal. So the Rebbe says something amazing. On one hand, we have a statement of Chazal that says that the miraglim have no chelik li'olam haba. They have no chelik li'olam haba. But here's the problem. The other problem is that we have a pasuk, right? The pasuk says that chashav machshavos levilti yidach mimenu nidach, that a neshama, a Jewish neshama, can never be lost. There's no such thing as a Jew, right? Kol Yisrael yeshlem chilek li'olam haba. Every Jew has a portion of the world to come. So what's the pshat? So how could it be that the Gemara says, on one hand, because of what the Meraglim did, they don't have a chilek in olam haba, but yet the pasuk says that every single Jew has a chilek in olam haba. So watch this. Lachin matzu lahem chazal takana. Therefore, Chazal found a way to redeem the Meraglim. How did Chazal find a way to redeem? Get ready for this. Lamdu mehem eidahi asara. How did Chazal redeem the Meraglim? By making the Meraglim the source for learning out the concept that Eida means 10. Al yidei limud zeh yisalu v'yituknu nishmoseihem. Now, we'll say, through this limud, Chazal were able to redeem the neshamas of the miraglim. V'china davar ba'adas korach, lamdu mehem, kol davar shebekdusha ina ela ba'asara. We'll say, the limud is going to get better. Because we're going to see, by the way, that the place from where we learn out the concept of a minyan, that a minyan is saying, you know where we learn that out from? We learn it out from a gzera shava between the miraglim and korach. Oy vavoy. What a gzera shava. Right? What a gzera shava of korach and the miraglim. Elamai says the Rebbe something so beautiful, that Chazal had a desperate desire to go ahead and redeem these Ovrei Avera. How do you redeem these people who divested themselves of all of their Kiddusha as a result of their negative activities? By going ahead and using them as the proof text, as the source, ultimately, again, to learn out beautiful, eternal, everlasting halacha. But I take this one step further with this, I'll stop. You know, Rabbi Yitzchak Berdichev brings down, he says, quotes by Dora Midbar, the Chazal say, the Meraglim don't have a chilek in olam haba, the Meraglim don't have a chilek in olam haba. So what does this mean? So Rabbi Yitzchak says so beautifully. He says, what does it mean that the Dora Midbar, the Meraglim don't have a olam haba? He says that, l'maisa, what it means is the following. It says, olam haba is when the Jew is able to go ahead and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo ba'atzmo, to see God and to understand God in totality. He says that the Meraglim and the Dor HaMidbar had such a close connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they didn't have to wait till Olam Haba in order to be able to proceed and to experience God. That's what it means, Dor HaMidbar, Ein Lahem Chilek L'Olam Haba. They didn't have to wait to get to the world to come to experience HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that pure, unadulterated way. And I will say, what's the take-home message of Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak? It's Avas Yisrael. Avas Yisrael means you do anything and everything to find something redeeming in another individual. It doesn't matter what you have to do. You could even make stuff up if you need to. You know, the Balatanya brings down, this I'm really going to stop. The Balatanya brings down, he quotes on the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos. He says, Hevi mi tamidov shel Aaron, be of the disciples of Aaron. Right, he says, oy ves abrios, love people. So bria is the most generic statement you could have about people. Like bria just means something that's alive. And the Baal Tanya says something so beautiful. He says, you have to find the good in every single Jew. And even if the only good thing you could say, well, at least he walks on 2 feet. Right? At least he doesn't walk on all fours. If that's the only positive thing that you could say, then find a way to say it. If Rabbi Nachman ultimately, again, could find the good in the Dor HaMidbar, in the Meraglim, Chazal have to try to find a way, how do we redeem the Meraglim? If Rabbi Levi Yitzchak is able to find the good ultimately in the Dor HaMidbar, then Abba said, we understand how much we have to work to find the good in one another. And especially on these days the Bein HaMetzarim, where we lost so much because because of Sinas Chinam. In this chus, ultimately, again, the beginning of Sechas Sanhedrin, in this chus, ultimately, again, of learning Eda, we had a great chus this morning. We didn't just do a black Gemara, we redeemed the Meraglim. What a day. It's not even 6:45. And we already redeemed past generations. It's going to be a great day. We redeemed the Meraglim just simply through our limud. Maybe Zochem Yeretz Hashem to redeem one another, to redeem ourselves by always being down the Kaf Sechus and always being able to see the good and the beauty in the other. Yeah.